It is crazy days in downtown Northfield. Boy, there's lights flashing and rescue vehicles and fire trucks out on Division Street, at least right in front of our window here. If you go down a little further, of course, we have all the stores and all the merchants that are geared up. And you'll also find one from the Northfield School District as well. The public schools have a booth out here. Joining us fresh from the booth is Superintendent Matt Hillman. Good morning, Matt.
Well, good morning, Jeff. How are you this morning?
Good. Now, were you out early this morning, 7 o'clock, with the rest of the crowd, getting everything set up and ready to go, probably even before that?
We arrived at 7 and got our tent, our canopy put up. We were a first-time Crazy Days booth last year, and the number one thing on our notes was make sure we have a little tent because, you know, we've got beautiful weather in downtown Northfield today with, you know, our historic downtown really buzzing with great energy around the annual Crazy Days celebration. I'm seeing lots of kids walking with the special Crazy Days donuts, and kids who I'm sure wouldn't normally be up at that time if it weren't for those donuts being available downtown. But yeah, Northfield Schools, we have a booth. Our administrative team is staffing it throughout the day. We'll be there till about 4:30, just simply there to engage the community, talk with people, make sure that they know we're here and if they have any questions. We've also got a great little opportunity for, you know, any kid or any parent or adult who wants to stop by. We have a little card you can fill out to thank a teacher or another adult in the school district who has helped you out, and we'll take all those thank you cards and we'll actually send them to the staff members next week as a way to welcome them back to the school year. I'm also reminding students that school starts 40 days from today. They're not liking hearing that so much.
You had to bring that up, didn't you?
Well, yes, of course I did, Jeff. You knew that.
But it's a nice opportunity, if you look in a setting like this, to meet people without a reason. I mean, you're not talking about grades or so-and-so's performance or disciplinary problems or anything else. It's just greeting people on the street and saying hi. It's nice to have really no, I guess I want to say expectations, but really nothing going on there as far as any pressures.
Well, and, you know, we really prioritize building relationships with the community. And so anytime that our leadership team can have an opportunity to connect with people in the community on an informal basis, we think that's good for everything. And we're just so blessed with this wonderful downtown and the energy, thanks to the chamber and all the folks who worked on getting Crazy Days together and all the merchants for their excitement. It certainly is one of the most fun days of the year. You can't really describe it to people. They need to come and experience it for themselves.
Yeah, a lot of fun. So come on down to downtown Northfield. Hey, before we get into some other things, I just want to check with you on the progress the summer is taking. You know, there's a lot of projects, large and small, going on around school, from cleaning up to fixing things to new things and everything else. Overall progress, how are we doing at this point of summer?
Well, Jim Kalseth, our Director of Buildings and Grounds, is really just a master project manager. And, you know, that process actually begins all the way last December when we look at our 10-year capital projects plan. We look at what are the projects that we want to move forward next year. Are there any that might need to be lifted up a little bit in the priority based upon current circumstances? So a lot of projects are projects that are done. For example, the high school tennis courts just finished their resurfacing yesterday. They'll be available for play as soon as next Monday. So that's a huge piece. Any of our tennis community knows that was needed. So that upgrade is done. They are moving really well along on the middle school parking lot project, where we're doing some redesign of the drop-off loop. We used to joke that you'd have to park a couple blocks away and, you know, in the parking lot, and to get to the front door of the middle school, we would jokingly say it was part of our wellness program. But we removed two of the islands that are part of the drop-off loop, replanted the trees that were there elsewhere within the district, and we're adding 47 parking spots very close to the door. It won't affect how parents pick up and drop off, but for the student who forgets their lunch or a medication or an iPad, you know, parents will now have some spots near the building where they won't have to walk quite a distance to be able to get there. For concerts, grandparents, and other folks who might have mobility issues, they'll be able to park closer to the entrance. We think that's another great project. On the security side, something that's not very exciting that, you know, people may or may not notice is at our high school, we're switching out most of our classroom door locks. The way it worked right now is teachers would actually have to lock the door from the outside. So we all know the horrible circumstances that have happened with some school violence issues over the last several years. You imagine if, God forbid, we were ever in a circumstance where there was some kind of intruder, a teacher needing to go into the hallway to lock their door. in a stressful time would not be very good. We've changed that all to where it's a simple thumb screw lock, where from the inside the teacher can just lock the door. And so while that does not sound like a substantial piece, what all of the research tells us is anything we could do to slow down a potential intruder makes everyone in the building safer. So it's something that we are able to use the Long-Term Facilities Maintenance Revenue Program from the state. That's a bill that was authored by former Northfield Senator Kevin Dahl, which gives schools some monies to make sure that they can keep their facilities up. So those are just a couple of the projects. Tennis courts are done. Parking lot should be done in the next couple of weeks, and they're working on those locks right now. Numerous other ones that we could talk about, but... Well, you did say we had unlimited time today, Jeff, which is never a good idea with me. So,
well, I guess we have 2 hours because Wayne is out fishing today. So
okay.
The Wayne Eddy Affair is not here. So we have plenty of time to talk. And it is always nice talking with you about what's happening within the school district. Now, you came in not alone today. You've brought a guest.
Yes, we have our Director of Finance, Val Murdestorf, with us today. And we thought we'd spend some time just talking a little bit about school district finances so we can help the community understand what our processes are. And then, as people know, we've talked, Jeff, for several months about the possibility that the board is still considering. They've not made a final decision. They'll make a final decision at their August 13th meeting about potentially moving some of our master facilities projects before the voters in November. The focus, based upon a number of pieces of feedback, is around the elementary projects. We'll get into that for a minute, but I'm going to have Val talk a little bit about our overall district financial processes each year. And Val's been with the school district for approximately 7 years.
Yep.
And she's became the director of finance a few years ago. Her department is a multi-award-winning department. As you know, we strive for transparency and stewardship in the school district. You're going to hear her talk about the fact that we've won the Minnesota Department of Education School Finance Reporting Award for 6 years in a row. She's going to talk about our bond rating, which there are only 3 school districts in the state that have a better bond rating than us, and they have a perfect bond rating. You heard about that state of Minnesota yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Val also was named the Rising Star Award by the Minnesota Association of School Business Officials a couple of years ago. So we have one of the best finance directors in the state here in Northfield, and she's going to talk through a few things with just overall general school district finance processes, and then we'll talk a little bit about the possible bond issue and that tax impact on voters.
All right. Well, congratulations, Val.
Thank you.
That's I lost track of how many awards that was giving out, but I'm sure they're all well deserved, certainly earned. Let's talk about the school financing. First of all, as the director of finance, what all do you oversee, and how many people are involved in your department that help you out?
Sure. So our department oversees payroll, mm-hmm. accounts payable. We work pretty closely with HR, kind of managing the benefits and helping with the payroll side of that piece, the budget, financial forecast, all those
everything
all those
that
pieces
has
that
dollar
together,
signs attached
you
to
bet.
It. Right, kind of all encompassing.
Yes. So my department, I have an accounts payable clerk, a payroll clerk, and then we have a special ed accounts receivable shared position, and then our benefits specialist, it helps with payroll, so she's shared between HR and finance. So we have about three and a half people roughly.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's talk about that, and Matt, feel free to jump in because you're more familiar with the ins and outs of the finance than I am. I'm just trying to, you know, grab a hold and hang on as much as I can. How large is the budget? You know, Matt comes in and talks about some different pools of money. You have your general fund, you have your capital. How many different funds are there, and how many things do you have to look at on a regular basis?
A lot. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 funds. Our general fund is the operating funds,
mm-hmm.
that is obviously the largest. Our proposed budget for fiscal year 19 is about $53 million in expenditures. So
okay.
That just gives you kind of a frame for that. We also have a child nutrition fund and community services and debt service, which is just where our debt payments get paid through.
Mm-hmm.
We have an internal service fund that manages our self-insured health and dental programs, and a trust fund, which is basically our scholarship fund. We have some donors that that donate money for scholarships, and we have to track that separately. So
a lot of different pools of money. You know, Superintendent Hillman had mentioned coming up to the school board on the August 13th meeting is whether or not to bring another referendum to the voters. Let's talk about, and Matt, maybe you can kind of guide the way through this. From a financial standpoint, how is this all done? And you know, paying the debt service. How do we have some debt being paid off? Are we going to be adding some, subtracting some along the way? That's a lot to wrap your head around. So let's talk about that angle.
Yeah, so let's go back just a little bit in time just to give folks who are listening a brief overview. If you remember, mm-hmm. you know, we had several dozen meetings actually that gave the input to create our master facilities plan, which was approved by the board in November of 2016. And as you recall, then last November we had both an operating levy question on the ballot and a $109 million bond issue on the ballot. We're very grateful to the community for passing the operating levy. And as we know, the community gave us some feedback on the bond issue, which was resulted in the bond issue being defeated. And, you know, we're not the kind of people that, you know, crab or whine about it. We said, what's next? And we started talking to people. Help us understand what parts of the master facilities plan are more important to you. Is what were the concerns about that bond issue? Because we had a lot of information leading up about people really being behind some of mm-hmm. All of the projects that we had proposed. We met with individual folks. We also convened a facilities action team last spring. And really what it came down to is that people thought that we just had too big of a bite last November with the master facilities plan all being on the ballot. And the feedback that we got through that facilities action team and then also from a thought exchange program we just ran again here in June, people were really saying, we really know that early learning is important, and we think we should focus on that particular part. So that's what the school board is considering. They're not considering the high school. I've had a couple of people say, well, we're not ready to do the high school. Just to be clear, the school board is not considering putting a new high school on the ballot, on this ballot, or for the next several years. We heard very clearly from the community that that was one of their concerns. But they also know that we have some space needs at our elementary schools. They also know that early learning has a tremendous return on the investment. And if we're going to make sure that every child in this community can take advantage of the wonderful public school system that we have, especially all the great options at Northfield High School, we know the earlier you start, the better off you are. And that's a program where we're out of space. So that's how we got to this point. One of the other pieces that we heard loud and clear is a concern about taxes, in terms about property taxes. And there's a variety of entities that affect that, but the school district certainly does that. So as we were taking that feedback from the community, as the board spent a couple of work sessions thinking about this, and again, no decision made yet whether to go forward or not, that'll come on August 13th, we worked with Ellers Incorporated. They're a leader in public finance, both on the city and the school district side. And they did look at our debt over the next several years, and they were able to find a way where we would be able to potentially do these projects at a much lower cost to the individual average taxpayer than what we might have been able to do a year ago. And so it's a strategy called capitalized interest, and I'm going to have Val just explain what capitalized interest is. And you've got a chart in front of you, too, there that she can use to explain that. And then we'll talk about what the possibilities for individual homeowners would be.
Sure. So capitalized interest is essentially asking the voters for a slightly higher bond amount, and we use part of those bond proceeds then to pay off part of the interest the first couple of years, which then reduces the tax impact and the amount that we would have to levy. So as a government entity, we are required to levy 105% of our debt payments. So that is a portion of our levy that the taxpayers pay, and we are statutorily required to do that.
Okay.
So by asking for a slightly higher bond, I think it's about $2.6 million that we're considering, we buy down basically that interest in the first 2 years, and so the tax increase for homeowners and businesses is significantly lower. We do have some debt falling off 2 years from now, and so they're able to structure those debt payments so that it's a pretty level, a very small increase, and then pretty level for the next 4 years. So if you look at that, the chart with the colors there that you have,
okay,
basically the red is our existing debt, mm-hmm. And the blue is the proposed new debt. So you can see in 2019 there's just a really small blue section, but that line goes flat right across for those 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
We really strive to keep consistent payments for our taxpayers. Nobody likes to see their tax bill go swinging up and down each year. And so this is a way to kind of stabilize that with a really minimal increase.
So the graph that we have shows in the year 2024 that there is some existing debt that's going to be evidently paid off at that time, and the tax payments would go down. There is, with the new debt, it would lower than it is with the combined two before that. Is that existing debt, is that like the middle school or something, or Greenvale going off the charts? Or
yep, it's the middle school and the Bridgewater bonds primarily that are still hanging out there.
Okay, all right.
The first one that comes off in 2021 would be basically the Bridgewater project.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2024, it is Northfield Middle School. Now, one of the things that's important for listeners to know is that one of the things that Val does very well is she is always looking at the opportunity to basically refinance our debt. So if you think about people who refinance their house, there's the opportunity for us to refinance our debt. And we've done that numerous times over the last decade, saving our taxpayers approximately
$5.5 million.
So over the last decade, by taking advantage of interest rates and refinancing our debt, taxpayers actually paid $5.5 million less on projects that they approved than they were promised to, because Val and her team are always looking at, can we refinance that? In fact, we have a small refinancing project that we're going to do this fall. There's some different terminology in the public sector, but it's roughly the same as you refinancing your house. So that's a piece that taxpayers can expect that we're going to continue to mm-hmm. do over the next, well, forever. Anytime that we have debt that we can restructure, we're certainly going to do that.
Now, when you do that, is that restructuring all your debts, or is it just restructuring one particular bond issue?
Just one at a time.
And there is a limit to how often you can do that, once or twice or something over the course of the 20, 30 years, whatever the debt would be?
Yes, it depends on the type of bond that we're looking at. So we have some general obligation bonds and some alt facility bonds. And so depending on the type, there's certain restrictions on if you can, it's called refunding, if you can refund it and if you can't and how often. So it's usually once or twice.
You know, you're doing a good job of explaining this, you two. Because I'm when it gets into finances and things like this, my eyes kind of glaze over and like, boy, I hope I'm asking the right questions.
Well, and I think the key thing is, if you think about it, Jeff, there'd be a modest, if the board were to choose to go ahead with the bond for the elementary school projects, and we can talk about the details of those. We've mm-hmm. talked about them a number of times before. It would really help impact our ability to handle some burgeoning classes at Sibley and Bridgewater, and would, of course, create a new elementary school on the Greenvale Park campus, and then would repurpose the current Greenvale Park building into a district-wide early learning center. Mm-hmm. We would then vacate the current Northfield Community Resource Center, saving taxpayers. We lease for that and levy for that, so we'd save taxpayers a very small amount of money. But you get a lot. There's quite a few projects that would touch nearly every elementary school student in the school district. And the way that we've been able to structure the potential bond would mean an increase for the average home in Northfield. What folks tell us is the average home in Northfield is about $250,000. That's within the school district, not just within the city. And that increase in 2019 would be $27. So if you think about it, I think board member Noel Stratmon kind of jokingly says he spends more on Mountain Dew in a month than he does on that. And so we heard from taxpayers, we support you very clearly. This community and our school district support the school district. And what they're saying is that we can't do that big of a project like you had suggested last year. So looking at a potential $27 increase, annual increase, and then as you see, the way we're able to make that is it's consistent then. There's not, in the years out, it becomes consistent because we're able to leverage that debt dropping off and we're able to stabilize the school district property taxes in that way. It would be very good. It's a very good approach. It's a very responsible approach, very stewardly approach in terms of providing some facilities that we certainly are in need of, especially for our early learning programs and for our elementary students, making sure they have a really strong start. But it also does what we can to honor taxpayers to minimize that tax increase. So just, for example, for our folks in the business community listening, a business valued at $1 million, the first year tax increase would be at $219 on average. And then again, that would stabilize over the next several years, and then additional drops off in 2024, where taxes could potentially go down at that point. Now, anytime you get out a few years, Jeff, you know we can't make any promises like that. But we think that, it's a good strategy that allows us to present some good projects to the community, should the board choose to go ahead with it, at a very reasonable cost to taxpayers.
We're talking once again with Matt Hillman, Superintendent of Schools for the Northfield School District, along with Val Murdesdorf, who is the Financial Director for the schools. As we had mentioned, August the 13th, the school board will decide whether or not to bring this forward, this referendum. Is there more knowledge from the standpoint of financing and how this whole thing is done? You have to, of course, educate the school board and educate the community. You want the school board to make a right decision, so I'm sure you're giving them as much information as you possibly can. Are there some things that we haven't talked about yet? So some of the aspects of that we haven't talked about yet?
A couple things that I would highlight is that the term of the bond is very important. And so last year we were proposing a 30-year bond. And this year we're proposing a 20-year bond, which of course then means that we will pay less in interest over time. But I think it's important for us to be transparent with the community that, you know, the possible bond that the board is considering would be a $40.975 million bond over 20 years. And so the total that we would pay back would be just above $60 million, so $60.3 million over that 20 years. Now, as we talked about before, we routinely look at refinancing those bonds when interest rates are favorable. And so there's a very reasonable chance, based upon history, that that total cost would be less to the taxpayers over the next 20 years than what we're looking at now. It wouldn't be any more than that. So I think the key thing is we're trying to not just look at what is the impact now, but we're also very serious. We both live in this community. We see people at the grocery store and at church and downtown, and we want to be able to make sure that people understand that we're looking out not just for today, but we have the long term in mind, and we don't just look what's next year. We're looking 5, 10, 20 years down the road, because we're committed to keeping the Northfield schools one of the best school districts in the state of Minnesota, and one of the ways to do that is to make sure that we are intentional about our finances when we do have a bonding need, to share it with the community, to make sure they know all the information and move ahead in that way. So again, you know, board's not made the final call yet. They will be very soon, and we shall see how it shakes out. And as you know, we will, if that's the case, I think we have a reputation of offering lots of opportunities for people to ask questions and connect.
That has been the case. We will certainly give that to you. You guys have given us every opportunity, us being the people and the media as well, every access to the information that you possibly can. Hey, one other thing I wanted to, while we have you talking about the finances, you had mentioned at the top, Northfield has one of the top bond ratings in the state. There's three districts that have better. Who's better and why are we? I mean, that's pretty impressive. I don't mean to downplay that the impressiveness of that feat, but talk about that.
Yep. So I was actually just going to highlight that's the other thing that that we do have going for us, because we do have the second highest rating, which is, it's called the AA+ bond rating, which does mean that Standard & Poor's has looked and determined that we're financially sound and all of those things. It does mean we get better interest rates, because the organizations that purchase our bonds look at that and know that we're going to be able to pay our debt back. The three districts, actually the state, was actually ranked AA+ as well, and was just enhanced to the AAA, which is the highest that you can have. And we have been told that we would never qualify for the highest rating, because they look at your tax base. It's typically the metro districts that have a really, really vast commercial base and those types of things.
We lovingly refer to them as the Fertile Crescent.
Yes. You know, Minnetonka, Wayzata, those are kind of the Edina, I think, are the three districts that have the AAA rating currently. So.
All right.
Yeah. And we would really have to substantially increase our tax base, and there's some pieces about where we're located and those kinds of things. But one of the things that would be beneficial for taxpayers is, as the community continues to work on developing its tax base, Chris Heineman from the city has written a very thoughtful piece for the Northfield News about how important increasing our commercial tax base is for everyone, because Northfield has high expectations for the public services that we have, the kinds of facilities that we have, and because of our relatively small commercial tax base compared to other cities of our size, our taxpayers do pay what I would call an inequitable amount compared to other school districts. So just as an example, St. Louis Park last year ran a bond issue very similar in size to ours, yet their average taxpayer would have paid half of what ours would. And that's because they have a much larger commercial industrial base to help spread those taxes over. So, you know, I encourage people to read Chris's piece in the Northfield News. And just as we move forward as a community, that's something I think we need to keep having at the front of our mind. We have a wonderful community, and we could really do some great things in terms of reducing that tax burden as we're able to expand our commercial tax base.
All right. Well, it's good to know that the reason why you're not number one is not in your control in any way. So very good job.
Well, and there aren't a ton of schools that have a AA+.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
All right. We're about out of time. Anything else?
I thought
we had
unlimited time, Jeff.
Well, I've got biscuits and gravy waiting for me. I've already had my donut. I've got the biscuits and gravy.
Well, good. Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for coming in.
Yep.
We certainly appreciate that. And good luck. Once again, the booth is open all day.
It's down by right in front of First National Bank. So stop by. We've got some Smarties. And then you could also write a little thank you note to any of the adults in the school district who have worked with your child who... We can send that to them. That means a lot to them when people say thanks for doing something for their student.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you so much for coming in. We certainly
appreciate it.
And that's it. Once again, from the Northfield School District, Superintendent Matt Hillman and Finance Director Val Mertesdorf. Jeff, getting out of here. I hope you all have a...